It's a dining room area, and I haven't had it on. I might, if I say that, 5 minutes, watch Drivers, Dive-Ins, and Drives, or whatever the hell the show's called.
That's it, yep.
With Guy Fieri. I love the show, and it, on occasion, it just allows me to see what they're cooking. And then I'll try to cook it and I'll ruin it. But sports fans are just, not just sports fans, human beings just want to get back to normal. We may not know what that is for a while. Kirk Wakefield, he's a professor at Baylor, the S3 program, and has been writing some stories, and including in Forbes magazine or Forbes.com, about fans and what they're doing and how they're affected by this and if they're more loyal to getting back by being safer. Kirk joins us now. Paul Catalina, Craig Smoke, I'm David Smoke on Sikkim 365. Kirk, are sports fans in general, especially the ones who are most passionate, are they actually trying to abide by this as much as possible because they know if they do, then everything flattens out and that means football or sports again?
So good afternoon. Yeah, you know, I heard somebody say on some broadcast the other night that all you have to do is tell Southerners if they want their football in the fall, then they just best stay home and so they'll all obey. We're close enough, so I think we're in the South. We can count that. You know, we did a couple of different national surveys, and we found that fans, by and large, are doing the social distancing pretty well, about three-quarters of them, which I think is pretty close to what national averages are. Pretty good on the hand-washing, maybe having a little trouble self-quarantining, I would say. But what we found is the more passionate fans are more likely, and if they had season tickets, I found in one of the studies, they're more likely to be following those guidelines.
When you say struggling with quarantining a little bit, what do you mean? What are some of the things that people are struggling to do?
Well, I just noticed that in the last study we did, 62% on this measure that we did said they were doing fine on self-quarantining, like they're taking it very seriously. But that leaves about 38% that aren't so seriously. So if I ask you how you're doing on a 1 to 10 scale and you go, yeah, I'm doing pretty well, I'm about an 8. It probably means you're about a 6, right? Whatever. If you're not a 10, you're probably not taking it all that seriously. I'm just saying that it sounds like that's significantly lower than the other two on hand washing and social distancing. I have a little tougher time on that. But again, the more passionate fans, the ones that see the tickets, those numbers go up a little bit.
Kirk, one of the things that you mentioned in the piece for Forbes, you're talking about just the differences that we may encounter now in going to stadiums. And, with so much awareness about touching things and touching each other and things like that, I mean, you brought up, are we going to have automated concessions? I mean, the possibilities are endless, obviously. Just how different of a world for the average fan walking into a stadium do you think it could potentially be? And how much conversation is there about what a change there could be with stadium life moving forward?
Yeah, I think that article that we released yesterday has kind of taken off. A lot of people are talking about it because it's so interesting, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you can maybe stand living or staying at home, like you heard John earlier saying, spend a lot more time at home. That's good. Also, you're spending a lot more time at home. But still, you think about, am I going to go with 20,000 other people I don't know? And will I be so patient with the guy next to me who's blowing his nose? And have we seen the end of God bless you when you sneeze? I mean, it's going to be probably God curse you, right, when you sneeze. So I think we don't really know how fans are going to react. My own prediction, I think, is that if we do get some kind of vaccination where, it doesn't sound like the death knell, for getting the virus. I mean, I know it's not quite that anyway, but people think that way. I think that will go a long ways to it. But I think what we're going to see, kind of like my friend Matt O'Neill, who used to be up the Cowboys for years, and I met him years ago, and he's the one that gave me the ideas for a lot of these. We're going to have to change to fit it. So we're going to be passing out gloves, maybe branded gloves, right? Mm. Yeah, sponsored gloves, sponsored masks. I don't know, it's going to be the Dove 2-in-1 face masks. I don't know.
Right. So they'll have.
So I think we'll see a lot more of that.
So they'll have like the LSU logo and the colors on their masks. Is that something like that?
That's what I'm picturing.
Yeah.
Now, you can't pick them up at the stadium. You need them before you get there, so you'll have to find a way to distribute them. So I mean, where is this going with autographs? Are you going to do that? Where is this going with vendors? Who's passing the hot dogs down the road to the other guy? Sorry, not taking the one you just handed me. And I'm not passing the money down for you either. So it makes everything have to be automated, in some way, some kind of just either order from your seat and go pick it up is what we're thinking. All kinds of changes.
Before the show, we were talking about this, and I kind of analogized it to when we went to the moon. You know, the moon wasn't just about going to the moon, because there's nothing really. I mean, it's nothing up there for us. It's not the gold or anything up there or any resources that we can really use. But it was about, can we do it? And then on the offshoot of what can we build out that's going to help us in society for when we go to the moon? Is this maybe an opportunity to have our generation's moon?
Yeah, I mean, no matter how we want to say it, it's our 9/11, whatever you want to call it, that makes a huge reset, right? Something we were talking about online on Twitter, that I just keep thinking this is a huge reset for sports and a lot of things where you go, you know, we didn't have to give that kind of service before. We probably should have gone to no physical tickets. There's some laggards out there with physical tickets. Now forget physical tickets, right? Mm-hmm. No one's going to, that's one thing. You can't say, here, let me see where your ticket is and take the ticket from the customer and then hand it back. I mean, you could, right? But the question is that the best practice? So I think what that means is, you know, checking in the gate. I would look for a lot more automated, probably facial recognition. And we already have that. Some of your fans, I'm sure, have been up to FC Dallas has at the museum. They've got facial recognition to come in. They have this in other countries a lot more prevalent than we do. But I expect to see that. You know, kind of like you have at the Amazon Go stores. And I'm not done it, but plenty of you can walk in, grab your stuff, and go.
Kirk Wakefield is our guest professor at Baylor. And again, the Esprit program and looking at data of how fans are reacting and what they're waiting on. He's with us on Sikkim 365 Radio.
I had a question, Kirk, about just your students and your former students. I mean, you've obviously got a lot of graduates that are working in pro sports front offices or behind the scenes, working with other companies that then work with pro sports franchises and colleges. What has been kind of your takeaway from your students, former students, and the world they're living in right now? Because, for example, if you work in a ticket sales office or you work in something along those lines, there's not really much of anything going on right now. So just what's kind of been the feeling for your area of sports and those in it and how they're dealing with what we're going through right now?
Yeah, it's kind of tough all over. I don't know if anybody's feeling a lot of sympathy for those that are in sports, except sure. for, you know, sports fans. But yeah, a lot of our alums have been put on furlough like halftime, you know, until things are fixed. I mean, if you're relying on tickets being transacted, you know, we have an alum that works for, you know, somebody who's totaled businesses tickets, the ticket consolidator, you know, somebody that's you're reselling tickets. Well, if they aren't selling tickets the first time, they aren't selling them on StubHub either, right? Mm-hmm. So all those industries and those that rely on it are hurting. I think what I hear from most of them is that, and you can see some of this on LinkedIn, they're really retooling to improve their skills. I think the real plus here is that salespeople of all kinds, right? I'm sure everybody's listening, anybody's in sales, you're having to develop relationships, having to, it sounds wrong, but you're spending more time building relationships because you can't be asking for money if they don't have it, right? Mm-hmm. But that actually was I'll flip it a little bit. That's one of the things we're talking about with Baylor Athletics and just athletics in general. Y'all probably know this, but now is when we usually announce all of our, you know, season tickets, you know, coming out and single game sales for fall for college football. But do we feel uncomfortable asking people for money? I think the answer I got from one of the surveys was, and I think of it this way, I mean, sports fans, one of the things they're most passionate about, right, is sports. I mean, you, all of us here, you're passionate about Baylor sports. And so if you don't give me something to hope for, like the chance to go to Baylor sports, I mean, what a sad life it is. So I think we would actually appreciate some offers, at least opportunities. Let me throw in this. I've heard this is a popular possibility. How about season ticket insurance?
Yeah.
You know, you buy trip insurance, but there's a company out there that contacted me and said, hey, you know, we offer that season ticket insurance. It's like 6.5% of, you know, the ticket price, but, you know, it refunds you if something happens that we would never thought would happen, but look, just did.
Yeah, that's interesting. Ticket insurance. So would you, if you bought a season tickets to whatever it is, would you pay an extra $25 or whatever it might be?
Yeah, basically.
And if the insurance company, of course, would have to offer that as well, and, you know, kind of have to almost like, it's almost like gambling is what it is. Hey, Kirk, it's good stuff. Yeah. And there's so many more options. We might stay with you again down the road and have you back when we see whatever we might see in the next month, if you don't mind. Yep. It's great stuff. Tell everyone there at the S3 program, Daryl Lanis and all the great people, we said hi.
Thank you, my friend.
That's Kirk Wakefield, the professor at Baylor, the S3 program. That program, we've had interns come out of that program, and they are amazing. Amazing.
Yeah, we've had quite a few that were with us at our old place that would come through, got to know a couple, two, three, four of those young men and women each year for, you know, a few months at a time.
And they lock in quickly with a job, too.
I'll tell